2024 Month 12 Investable ETR Briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of December to the 31st of December 2024. Hopefully you'll find it interesting as we look closer at what's happening within the credit group. Firstly, Robert will be discussing trade finance transactions during the month of December and will give a refresh on the core principles credit was built on. Next, George will show some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. We will also look at our segments on our monthly reports and any updates on the European and global economies. Then we'll look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it, with some updates on credit. And lastly, Patrick would like to talk about the exchange-traded securities at the end of this meeting. So for our first topic, I'll hand you over to Robert, who's a member of our trade desk.
Thanks for that, Maria. So today's Trade Desk topic focuses on one of our most active asset finance originators. They're a Hong Kong-based family-run company, and they've been operating in their industry for over 30 years. They specialize in sustainable disposal solutions, and they service the offshore vessel market. When I say they're our most active asset finance originator, I mean that they've completed probably the most transaction with us involving the buying, selling and leasing of shipping vessels. Additionally, they've facilitated introductions to potential new originators in similar industries, some of whom we've actually gone on to finance. This originator joined the exchange in 2021, and they've since traded over 43 million euro with us. The majority of this was in asset finance, primarily for the purchase, leaseback, or refinancing of several vessels. They've also traded some smaller facilities in supplier and debtor finance. Since starting with us, we have financed the purchase of 13 different vessels in collaboration with them. However, obviously not all of these were one single transaction. So the fleet has grown incrementally as the originator identified different sort of promising employment opportunities for additional vessels. Their first transaction with us involved the refinance and leaseback of six different vessels from their existing fleet. So Credit took ownership of these vessels and we integrated them into our vessel financing process. All the long-term charter income from those vessels is directed into the Credit bank account, and from there we deduct the originator's repayments before returning any surplus funds back to them. And that sort of marked the establishment of our fleet of vessels. So that was the first trade that we did. Since then, we've continued to expand the fleet, acquiring further vessels as different opportunities arose. Our most recent purchase related to this originator occurred in November of last year, so November 2024. Over the past few years, we've also sold a number of these vessels, and like many assets, the vessel prices have sort of increased dramatically in the last couple of years. For example, one of the first vessels we refinanced for this originator was valued at approximately 350,000 euro back in 2021. Whereas the largest single vessel purchase for this originator transacted last year, and that was valued at 5 million USD. Interestingly, all the six vessels from our initial trade, they've all since been sold, and they've achieved sale prices five times their original purchase cost. So it just sort of illustrates the significant appreciation in market values within that sector. Although we funded the acquisition of 13 different vessels for this originator, only two remain on our books at the moment. And given the uptrend in vessel prices, we actively assess opportunities to capitalize on profitable sales. So just take, for instance, one particular vessel that was purchased back in October 2021 for 2.4 million USD. Credit financed 1.6 million USD of this. And it was later sold 2 years later for 6.2 million USD. Now, after some deductions and the buyout of the remaining charter party, the net sale value was 4.1 million USD. So it resulted in a $1.4 million profit. In transactions like this, we often try to agree on a profit sharing arrangement. And in this particular case, after only 16 months, Credit received the full set of lease payments for the 2-year term along with a 12.5% share of the profit. So that amounted to $175,000. So in total, Credit received $2 million from the sale, and that included the early lease repayment, repayment of any legal fees incurred during the sale, and then obviously our profit share. So this example sort of highlights how Credit generates revenue not only through the leasing and vessel ownership, but also by trying to strategically partner with experienced shipping companies to try and capitalize on profitable sales like that one. Our involvement in the shipping finance has been obviously highly beneficial for both the company and our investors. And the growing demand for finance has in turn sort of driven our need to increase investment funds for this year and ongoing years. So I hope this brief discussion has provided a valuable insight into the vessel trading operations that we do on the trade desk and within Credit, and how we look to utilize investor funds. So with that, I'll hand you over to George, and he's going to discuss some of the potential new deals that are coming in the pipeline with the deal desk.
Thank you, Robert, and good afternoon, everyone.
Sorry, George, just before you start, yeah. I think an important point to make in relation to vessels, yes, prices have driven strongly from when we entered the market in 2021, but the actual particular vessel that you were talking about there, Robert, that sold for $6 million was offered to us, as you know, George, earlier this month at north of $11 million. Yeah. So we are extremely cautious in that market because prices have gone up not by even 300%, but by more than 500%. So the only vessel that we bought in the last 18 months is that one that we bought in November. And the only reason that we decided to finance it was because it was in a three-year contract with General Electric. We think the market is overpriced, and that's why we haven't bought many vessels in the last 18 months. So it shows a level of caution and conservative appetite at this moment. Over to you, George.
Thank you for that, Patrick. So good afternoon, everyone. As the deal desk moves into 2025, we are excited to build on the momentum that we achieved in 2024. Turning the progress we made into an even greater success. The past year laid a strong foundation, and with that energy driving us forward, this year offers a wealth of opportunities to grow and innovate. While challenges are inevitable, they also bring chances to learn, adapt, and push beyond our limits. With determination and a focus on continuous improvement, we look forward to embracing these challenges, refining our approach, and achieving new milestones. We will increase our staff numbers in 2025, and a new member of the team will be joining us early in February, next Tuesday, in fact. We have begun the year with momentum, as we wanted to, and we are currently in discussions with many new potential originators. One such company that we're speaking to is based in United Arab Emirates and is a specialist in the supply of bulk affordable refined petroleum products across Africa, mainly southern, central, east and west Africa. And their buyers are in various different countries. They also cater to regions in Asia. They are a reliable international supplier, purely focused on trading in refined petroleum and oil commodities in large volumes. Their range includes jet oil, gasoline oil, motor oil, and various other petroleum products. The company ensures reliable international supply chains while leveraging their team's industrial experience. They offer tailored services in strategy, consulting, and operations to facilitate efficient delivery turnarounds. To ensure seamless delivery to any port of discharge, they have established partnerships with top international banks. These collaborations enhance their trade finance capabilities, supporting their commitment to building long-term, trustworthy relationships with clients. Credit will help facilitate this by potentially funding a transaction for them that will involve the purchase of a large amount of petroleum from a supplier in Georgia. The petroleum will then be exported to a customer in Zambia. We are also in talks with another company, also based in the United Arab Emirates. This company is a global trading group that operates across diverse sectors, including energy, biomass, logistics, and metals. The company focuses on delivering solutions for, for industries such as agriculture and energy, working towards sustainable practices. With a strong presence in the United Arab Emirates, their operations aim to support sustainable growth in energy and resources, including renewable solutions and essential trading services. They require finance for the purchase of copper concentrate that they get from suppliers in Congo to then be sold to customers in a Chinese company located in Zambia. To ensure the quality of this product, they employ a representative in Zambia that ensures the quality and the quantity of the product. Another company that we're in discussions with is a London-based company specializing in the development and management of both traditional and renewable energy projects. Established in 2012, they offer comprehensive services in project development, commodity trading, and financial structuring. The company provides a project development services encompassing renewable energy sources, such as solar and wind power, as well as the production of biochemical products and gas processing. Their services are available internationally, reflecting their commitment to advancing energy solutions globally. The company engages in the international trade of both conventional and renewable products, including bio and non-bio-based chemicals, specialty oil products, and oleochemicals. By leveraging their interregional industry knowledge, they ensure clients receive the right quality of products at the right time and under optimal conditions. The deal that we're speaking to them about involves the purchase of lubricating oil from a supplier in Egypt to then be sold to a customer in Spain. One company that we are quite far in the process with, and we hope to trade within the next coming weeks, is a prominent trading company based in Dubai. This company was established in 2000 and has built a strong reputation for supplying a diverse range of products across various sectors. Their extensive product portfolio includes building materials, cleaning supplies, food products, hardware items, hygiene products, and sanitary ware. The deal we are discussing with them involves the purchase of copper cathodes from a supplier in Congo to then be sold to a customer from Sri Lanka. The goods will be shipped to a bonded warehouse in Tanzania, where they will be picked up then by the buyer. We mentioned copper cathodes today, and interestingly, copper cathodes are in high demand globally due to the increasing use of copper in industries like constructions and renewable energy, such as solar panels and wind turbines, in addition to technologies such as smartphones and computers also. Copper is considered a critical metal for economic development. Its high conductivity makes it essential in power generation and transmission, while its corrosion resistance makes it vital in plumbing construction and various industrial applications. So thank you very much for your time, everyone, today. It's always a pleasure. And back over to you now, Maria.
Thanks, George. It's always nice to hear about some of the deals that you and your team are looking at. Hopefully in the future, we'll be discussing some of these in our trade section of the briefing. So as we've stated before, Credet will always try to stay informed on what's happening in the world when looking for any new business. Trades that are meaningful to us and have an impact in today's current affairs will always be available as they are what the world and the market is focusing on. So moving to the Baltic Index, we saw that December started off at 1,332. The index continued its downward trend, dipping to 979. The index fluctuated during December, eventually climbing in the in the end of the month, ending at a figure of 1,029. The Baltic Index was recorded at 726 as of today. As mentioned in other briefings, we promise to continuously keep an eye on the global economy with factoring in geopolitical issues that can cause ongoing effects in the market. So moving to global news, we see that the Eurozone inflation figure for December has come in at 2.4% according to Eurostat. The European Central Bank is increasingly confident that inflation in the Eurozone will fall back to its target, but also more concerned about the outlook for growth. The International Monetary Fund projects that the Eurozone's growth outlook has worsened, with the 2025 GDP growth expected only at 1% currently, compared to the 1.7% forecast from a year ago. ECB policymakers will meet on January 30th, today, for the first time in 2025, and are expected to lower the key interest rate again by 0.25 percentage point. Looking at the UK economy returned to growth for the first time in 3 months. The Office for National Statistics revealed that GDP was 0.1% higher in November, a weaker outcome than the 0.2% rise expected by economists. This expansion was led by a dominant services sector, which grew 0.1% and offset a 0.3% contraction in manufacturing. The sterling also continued to fall against the dollar and the euro, falling as much as 0.7% against the dollar and 0.3% against the euro. Amid the financial market turmoil, British Finance Minister Rachel Reeves outlined her plans to revive the country's slow-moving economy. These plans included expansion at airport at Heathrow, Oxford-Cambridge growth corridor, and housing targets. Now moving to the US, we see that President Donald Trump is expected to reshape economic policy both at home and abroad. His agenda centered on trade tariffs, corporate tax cuts, immigration restrictions, and increased pressure on NATO allies could have far-reaching consequences on growth, inflation, and interest rates. Economists expect a widening gap between the US and the Eurozone monetary policy. The Federal Reserve is also likely to keep interest rates steady or even tighten policy to combat inflationary pressures. A stronger dollar is also another likely outcome of Trump's policies, with Goldman Sachs foreign exchange analyst Kamaksha Trivedi saying, "We expect the dollar to rally by about 5% over the coming year on the realization of new tariffs and continued US outperformance." Moving to the last section, I will discuss the briefing itself. You will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 51.0 million euro with 65.4 million fully allocated. If we look to the right-hand side of the briefing, we can see that the credit index is 66, with the trading figure for the month recorded at 10.74 million euro with all available ETR in the market fully utilized. Credit control collections increased significantly this month to 15.87 million euro. The exchange's performance once again continues to jump ahead of all prior years. Our top 10 of largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from Skanska Costain, EKFB, and Hansen UK. At the top of the list, similar to last month's briefing, are construction debtors, Skanska Costain, and EKFB. Cork City Council is also back near the top, with Atradius and the HSC moving higher, making another appearance. Our donut graphs show the wide variation of our investments, with the largest sections again in wholesale and retail, health, manufacturing, and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and reoccurring ones, as well as new debtors being added monthly. The performance in wholesale and retail was the highest this month, with CBRE and Atradius representing the sector. Health and community was our second largest in performance this month. This is represented by the HSC in our largest holdings for December. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed throughout credit. If we continue to look at the performance sector, we see that for month 12 in 2023, there was 187.16 million euro traded, compared to month 12 of 2024, which was decreased by around 30% to 136.1 million euro traded for December. Volumes decreased this month as the value to volume ratio increased again, in line with higher value and quality traded ETRs. Investor redemptions increased in December to 2.7 million euro, with the credit index at 66, for month 12. Finally, following the last briefing, our largest trade was a construction trade this month at 3.99 million GBP. Our trend section shows the interest for the month running outside of the current demand, fixed and term rates. We can see from the briefing that the interest rate started slightly higher than the previous months at 2.163% and remained steady throughout the first half of December. It greatly fluctuated in the middle of the month, climbing to peak at 2.173% before sharply declining at the end of the month to level off at 2.152%, with potential for January's rates to ease and remain steady. As you all know from previous months, our investable rates on offer for the three products currently stand at demand at 3.50%, fixed at 4.25% for 12 months, and term at 15% at the end of 36 months. The section shows that demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency. With the combination of the new rates and exchange-traded securities, which has been a topic with many of you and Patrick, it's predicted this will continue to grow. And as before, the briefing document ends with the active RSA of 51 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for December 2024.